It could be a signature win weekend for more than one person involved with the Jacksonville Jaguars here in Jacksonville this week. I am Tony Wiggins. This is your Jacksonville Jaguars report here on Locked On Jaguars. Critical win or pivotal win in the careers or the early careers of Gardner Minshew could come Sunday here at TIA Bank Field in Jacksonville against the New Orleans Saints. Doug Marrone had victories before in the playoffs in 2017. Home victory against Buffalo, his old team that he used to coach, as well as a road win against the Pittsburgh Steelers that propelled them to a title game. There was a victory last year early in the season that Jacksonville had against the New England Patriots that was a big win. However, this could be different because this could be a win with the future quarterback at the helm, and the Jaguars could really, really use it heading into a stretch where they're going to probably be favorite in four of the next five games. And all that being said, there's just nothing more fulfilling to see a fan base that has taken so much abuse, unwarranted abuse from people that probably have never stepped foot in Jacksonville. There's nothing more exciting than seeing them go to the stadium knowing that it's about to be lit. And what I mean by that is, look, I've always talked about the faithful 52,000. Of course, you know, I give props to the Bold City Brigade and the Teal Street. They're just certain people that the Jags could be playing a high school team and they're going to show up and they're going to make noise. They exist. You know, those people. But I'm talking about that little extra mustard that's on it when there's a big game. The games that I recall, obviously, the 62-7 game against Miami. There was a Miami Monday night game earlier that year. Where the place was incredible. Pittsburgh, just about every time they came here, particularly one Sunday night game, I remember Rasheem Mathis got a pick six in the first quarter. The Morton Anderson missed kick game. And recently, Seattle in 2017, New England last year, the Chargers in 2017 was crazy. I think that's going to be something that happens this week, too. I think it's going to be crazy. And unlike in the past, when the Jaguars played, you hoped they didn't get behind because you didn't think that they had a chance. After they got behind, there was no chance they were going to come back. That's not the case now. And Gardner Minshew is that type of player where I honestly and truly believe if the Jags ever get down to somebody 17-0 in the first quarter, I'm not going to write them off and say it's over. That's exactly what used to happen in the past. And that's a big deal. And I'll tell you why it's a big deal. It's a big deal because if they got down before, I think the defense played like they felt like they had to do something special. And then you get guys playing hero ball. And not for selfish reasons, but they start playing hero ball because what they're trying to do is they're actually trying to make a play beyond X's and O's because they felt like they needed to. There's no need right now, these days, there's no need for anybody to panic and for anybody to play hero or me ball with Gardner Minshew as your quarterback and with John DeFilippo calling plays because you know they're just two or three plays from dialing it up and the Jags being right back into the game. So, no, they're never going to be out of a game. Because of their ability to get chunk plays and have these drives where 5-6 play drive for 75 yards and it's a touchdown. DJ Chark is also a big part of that offensively. And this is, you know, thinking about it in these terms, this is how having those alpha players and those great players on one side of the ball can actually resonate with the other side. And when you can score – and you can score in bunches, and you're never out of a game. It keeps the fans engaged. So I'm excited for the tailgates. I'm excited for Sunday when the Jags go out on that field, and those fans will be in their seats. And that place, if there was a roof on TIA Bank Field, it would come off Sunday. I'm telling you, this is going to be an atmosphere. I cannot wait. I cannot wait to just, from the press box, you don't hear the stuff, but you can feel it. And then you can look out and see the teal and black and everybody going crazy. So, I mean, I just can't wait. I just can't wait to Sunday. This is about as jacked up and as excited I've been for a football game in a very, very long time. And I think Sunday has a chance to be a very, very special day here in Jacksonville for Gardner Minshew and for the Jags. I'm going to tell you something, man. They got a very, very good shot at doing something very, very special on Sunday. And I'm glad I'm going to be a part of it. I'm glad most of you guys will have a chance to go out and check that out. All right, we're going to get into and dive into a little bit more about what this game could mean Sunday and why I anticipate that this game will have special meaning and ramifications for the Jaguars season and their outlook on the future. If you don't have your ticket, though, you got to go check out our guys at Vivid Seats. Vivid Seats app, it's in your Play Store. You can go to Google Play and all that. You need to download that app and make memories that last a lifetime by downloading the Vivid Seats app and put the promo code KICKOFF in. And that means at checkout, you receive a discount of up to $100. All right, Vivid Seats, get your tickets for the game. You don't need a ticket for this podcast because we're going to get right back into it in just a second. All right, welcome back to Locked On Jaguars. I'm your man, T-Wig. Sunday's game, I think it's huge. I think it's good that nobody, you know, you don't hear organizationally that they're overplaying it too much. They picked the right game, though, for the 25th anniversary. I there's a lot of events going on in town. Some to benefit the J Fund. They got something going on at the convention center with a bunch of alumni that's going to be there. They're going to honor all of the Jags from the past. They're going to show up, guys, Jimmy Smith and the whole crew. I really believe Tony, Jimmy, and Fred belong in the Hall of Fame. And for you guys not familiar with the Jaguars, that's Tony Boselli, Jimmy Smith, and Fred Taylor. I think they belong in the Hall of Fame. I think they had that type of impact, that type of ability. And during their time, I don't think you could find – you really can't name two guys that you could just flat out say was better than them. Because on any given day, Jimmy Smith was the best receiver. On any given day, Fred Taylor was the best running back. And that's according to players, by the way, former players. Ray Lewis said Fred Taylor's the best running back he's ever seen. Jimmy Smith – almost smoked Baltimore single-handedly. As a fact, almost 300 yards in Baltimore against the vaunted Ravens defense when they were in their prime. And Tony Boselli, as you all know, for that five-year stretch, was the guy that all of those offensive linemen looked up to and they thought was the best. So those guys will be there. And then a bunch of your favorite Jags from through the years, guys that aren't Hall of Fame guys but were just fan favorites. Remember John Yerkovich? John Yerkovich was like a fan favorite, you know. Joe Schmingy, guys like that, guys that did the dirty work, Eddie Robinson, Gary Walker, G-Funk. You know, just it's been a good 25 years. There's been some ups and downs and a lot of narratives about the team and new ownership and lots of hangovers. But it's a joyous time right now because 25 years in and then all of a sudden, the sky opened up and Gardner Minshew fell on us. And not just because he's a good player. I always talk about the play being the most important thing. And while I still, in my heart of hearts, believe that, and I'll say that none of this other stuff matters if he doesn't play well, it still doesn't mean that nothing else matters, though. You know, it does matter that he's an everyday guy. It does matter that he's just, as I think Mike DeRocco described it, I think it was DeRocco that said, it wasn't DeRocco, it was Dan Hicken, who said he's just the guy that 95% of the people in Jacksonville want to go sit down and have a beer with. And it's fact. It is. That's the real deal. And the dude is just infectious. And it resonates with the community. It resonates with the entire NFL. But most importantly, it resonates with his teammates. They are totally bought in on the fact that with him, they're just a more confident team. They're just a more confident group. You got to love it, man. You absolutely have to love it. You just got to love what he brings to the table from a confident standpoint. You got to love the fact that people actually love going to the games. They love going to the games anyway, but people go to the games now. And this will only be his third home game. people going to the games now, and the way they're going to the games now is like with a supreme confidence. It's not hope. It's not hope. Cedric the Entertainer once said that he was talking about someone coming to a venue, that there are two types of people. There are people that hope no one's in their seat, and there's people that wish someone would be in their seat. The Jaguars are not hope now. The fans are not hope. Well, I hope we play well. I hope this happens. They go in thinking, I wish you would try my team. And I think that kind of confidence can't be manufactured. It has to be real. Gardner Minshew is real. He is the real, real deal. And the scouting department deserves an awful lot of credit. The fans deserve an awful lot of credit for still wanting something that they could grab a hold on to and experience on Sundays. Like, even if you don't win games, the fact that we don't like moral victories, it's not about participation trophies or anything like that. But the fact is, this team has given this town and this city actual results and something tangible that they can hold on to that actually matches the enthusiasm that they've had over the 25 year history of this team. And I just think that's just an incredible thing to happen. The weird part of it is this. There was hope coming into the year because Nick Foles was a professional quarterback who had won Super Bowls, and you'd seen evidence that he could do it. And in the first quarter, it almost seems like it got dashed away. And it's like, I even heard members of the media saying it's a curse. There's a curse. The football gods are mad at Jacksonville. Life lesson in that is just wait. Just watch. Because just when you think things are good, the worst thing you can imagine happens. But by that bad thing happening, boom, what happens? Here comes Gardner Minshew and the birth of this phenomenon. And it's happened for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And it happened for the fans. It happened for a city that gets a bad rap. Ironically, how if they go on this win streak and they win this game, and then they win the next few games that they're scheduled to play, here's the irony. There's always these jokes about London. There's always these talks about London. Let's just say the Jaguars win against the Saints. The Texans beat the Chiefs. And both of these teams go on a winning streak. And then you look down the road and the Texans and the Jags play in London in about a month. How huge would that game be? That'll probably be the biggest game on the schedule that day. The game will be played in London. It'll involve the Jaguars. It'll be Gardner Minshew, Deshaun Watson, Jalen Ramsey, I think, DeAndre Hopkins. How big would that game be nationally? I think it's going to be huge. If both of those teams were sitting there, whatever the record is, 6-2, 7-2, both of those teams sitting there staring at each other at 9:30 that Sunday morning. So the start of that is this Sunday to me. The start of all of that stuff, in my opinion, can happen this Sunday. And I absolutely think it's going to be an amazing, amazing atmosphere and the beginning of something. Now, I think even though we don't like moral victories, like I think a lot of people had a moral victory last week in Carolina. There was a little bit of a moral victory after the narrow loss to Houston early in the year because, you know, Gardner Minshew at that time was considered house money. Moral victory last week because they never quit, and you almost think that they shot their own selves in the foot, and you saw mistakes that could be eliminated that this team could fix. But you don't want to get used to celebrating those moral victories. You just don't want to do it. So how can they avoid it? Sticking it with me, and I'll tell you why. Discuss this game that's coming up Sunday even more right after this. This is your man T-Wig with a message from me to you about MyBookie. MyBookie is the absolute premier betting site of all of those sites. Just scratch all of those other names away and just focus on MyBookie.com. MyBookie.ag. That's right. Go on MyBookie and enter this promo code. The promo code is Locked On. That's right. The promo code is Locked On. Enter that, and MyBookie will allow you to activate a special offer. The special offer gives you a double down on your first deposit up to $1,000. So if you want to really win some money, you want to play, you want to win, you want to get paid, the place to do that is at MyBookie.ag. They got things like parlays where if you really, really want to get some extra skrilla, you can double, triple, maybe even sometimes quadruple the type of money that you win by picking more than one team, multiple teams, and getting them all right. If your bet isn't going the way you want it to go, you can even cut that thing off at halftime and bait and switch and take the other side. That's right. MyBookie gives you all of those great opportunities. So go to MyBookie.ag, enter the promo code Locked On, and get started right now. Visit MyBookie.ag. Okay, welcome back. Segment number three here on Locked On Jaguars. I shouldn't say welcome back because you know what? I know you didn't go anywhere. So what does Sunday's game mean if – let's go through three scenarios. Bad loss. Bad loss leaves a bad taste in your mouth. So we don't want to think about that. Close loss. It'd be another close loss like the last two losses this year were. And you go, okay, we got to figure out a way to win these games against good teams when we're under stress. And then look at the reasons why you lose the game. Like last week, like I said, couldn't stop Christian McCaffrey, but you were still in the game. You had too many penalties and too many costly turnovers, okay? So you eliminate, you think this week they'll come back and they'll eliminate those things. And then they get to see if the things that really worked on worked because – You had Christian McCaffrey last week, and you have Alvin Kamara this week. So you get a chance to right away to see if Jacksonville has fixed some things in terms of their run fits and their gap control and being where you're supposed to be defensively. Continued development of the offensive line is also going to be critical if they're going to win the game. So let's go back through the scenarios. What if they win this game? What if they blow them out? I mean, this place will go absolutely ape crazy and bananas if the Jaguars go out here and just put an absolute thumping on them. Now, you say, well, the Saints are too good for that. Yeah, the Saints with Drew Brees, I can't imagine them getting manhandled and thumped. Teddy Bridgewater, though, gives you a little bit of, even though I think Teddy's a good quarterback, Teddy Bridgewater gives you a little bit of room to imagine that the Jaguars could actually come out here and lay one on New Orleans. I mean, they absolutely could. They could absolutely come out here and put the straight wood to the Saints because Bridgewater gives you a little bit of that, the wiggle room that could happen. See, New Orleans, even though they played well last week, they didn't play so well in Los Angeles against the Rams. They also then came right back and went out to Seattle and played lights out, and they beat Seattle by, you know, a pretty good number. Because Bridgewater had gotten going and gotten things back on track, and probably they were able to scheme up some things based on his strengths and the game plan and all that stuff. I think the way they can do this, you got to run the ball well, you got to control the clock, you got to keep them on the field on third down. Don't get in long down and distance situations. Of course, don't turn the ball over. Run Leonard Fournette. Run Leonard Fournette, and then pressure Bridgewater up the middle. I don't think scrambling is like Bridgewater can't move. But I think if you rush him up the middle because he's not a tall quarterback, I think you could cause him a lot of problems. And then force him to want to move out and push out and run right into Ngakoue and Josh Allen. I think it's important that Jalen Ramsey plays. I know he says he's still experiencing back pain. So it'll probably be a game-time decision. And then you have to wonder how effective he will be since he hasn't really been getting greased up the last 3 weeks. But at the end of the day, there's even room still left for a bit of a making-up session between Jalen Ramsey and the fans here in Jacksonville. He goes out and plays well. It'll be like people will almost forget that any of this stuff ever happened. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes. But really, really, really absolutely looking forward to this game on Sunday. Really looking forward to it. Looking forward to it for the fans, and I hope the team really doesn't disappoint. I got to do a quick kudos to somebody. I've been beating Dave Caldwell up for 4 years now. When you really think about it, with what they've done with Fournette playing so well, with obviously finding a quarterback in Gardner Minshew, him and the scouting department knowing that they didn't need a veteran because how impressive Minshew probably was to them on tape and things you don't see as whether you're an evaluator or if you're just a guy like me in the media who's a critic. Juwan Taylor, drafting him in the second round, he looks like a stud. When you really think about the players that Juwan Taylor has played against, and he's held his own, Von Miller, J.J. Watt, two first-ballot Hall of Famers, he's looked very, very good. He's looked very, very good. And I know we beat up on some of the other linemen, and some of them deserve it, but Taylor is a good player. D.J. Chark is a superstar. D.D. Westbrook is a real good compliment. And Chris Conley is a straight pro who really gets open and knows how to make plays also. And these guys are also blocking for Leonard Fournette when he breaks off and gets to the second level. And then you look at defense. You look at Yannick Ngakoue, the way yesterday Todd Wash mentioned the word, that's why we love him. He said, that's why we love him, about Jan and his attitude and Jan being one of the first guys to admit that this team is playing for each other. Jalen Ramsey, whether he's here or not, everyone admits he's a great player. And to be able to get young safeties and develop them and have a secondary that's long and athletic. I got to give Dave Caldwell credit, man. You know, when you're right, you're right. I beat up on the guy enough. But him and the scouting staff have done a really good job with the way that this team is loaded up with players. They got a lot of work to do when it comes to next season, though. But, you know, in terms of contracts and getting guys signed. And then, you know, winning. You got to win. It doesn't matter how many players you have, how many all pros you have. Eventually, it has to amount to something. It has to amount to guys actually winning football games. So they look like a winning football team, which is another reason this game is so critical to not be 2-4. If they're 2-4 after Sunday, I'll probably say they might be the best 2-4 team I've seen in a long time. They're not out of it. They're not out of games. And even if they're 2-4 after this game this week, they're not out of it at all, because I think they're going to win at least maybe three straight games after Sunday. And if they do that, they'll be right back over 500 at 5-4 in the second half of the season, looking to make a run. I think 10-6 gets you in the playoffs. 10-6 gets you in the playoffs. I think 10-6 gets you in the playoffs. I think 11-5 wins you the division and you have a home playoff game. Yep, that's the way I see it. Hey, man, y'all enjoy the game Sunday. I'm going to enjoy my weekend. It's your man, Tony Wiggins, with Locked On Jaguars. We'll see you Monday, and hopefully it's a victorious Monday.